You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Glad you're here tonight. I hope you have a great time. Please eat all the pizza. It's not good cold. We appreciate that. Thank you again for being here, and Brother Charles is going to come and introduce our special music.
Okay, not only did we have a special eat tonight, but we got special music tonight also. We got Miss Kathy Thomason and Miss Debbie Hamrick going to come and sing a duet for us today. They were singing at the Joy Club this morning, which is, the Joy Club is the older folks group, and it's a great group. I love to sing for them too when she asked me to sing for them. But we lovingly refer to them as Kathy and Debbie, and they're going to sing for us tonight.
Songs that move. Those are good. They really are. Somebody asked me a while ago, "Sir, what are you speaking on tonight?" And I said, "A subject you're very familiar with." He said, "What?" I said, "Sin." And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about what is sin. And the Bible is talks about it a bunch, obviously. And we're going to look at a really clear example of that. So if you turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, and if you don't have a Bible but you'd like to turn there, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. Let me tell you about that Bible. If you don't have a Bible here with you, just keep that one as the rec room's gift to you. Now, if you're not going to keep it, if you'll put it on the back table when you leave tonight, we'd appreciate it. Not leave it in the seats. That just creates a little bit more work for our people trying to clean up things. Joshua chapter 6. While you're turning to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, it's be the sixth book, and okay, I hope you define it if you're not familiar with some of the Old Testament scriptures. But why are you doing that? Proverbs 21:4 said, "A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." In the 24th chapter of Proverbs, it said, "The thought of foolishness is sin." Romans said, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." James said, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." 1 John 3 said, "For sin is a transgression of the law." And 1 John 5 said, "All unrighteousness is sin." So we've seen a bunch of different things that all of us have been guilty of. And now then, let's go to that book of Joshua. And let me give you a little background on this. Moses, the leader of Israel for four books, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy, is dead. Joshua has taken his place. He is now the leader of Israel. Joshua has just led them into the promised land. They have crossed the river of Jordan on dry land, miraculously, like they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. The first town that they are to conquer and overthrow is Jericho. And God gives them the instructions on that. Notice Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19. Here are the instructions about some things they need to do. He said, "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." Now then, he's going to identify and define the cursed thing in verse 19. "But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Most of the times when one country overthrew another or overthrew a city, the soldiers kept the spoils. He said, "This time you don't do that. Everything is going to be turned in to God out of Jericho." And so that was their marching orders when they overthrew the city. And so now we're going to start reading in chapter 7, verse 1. Said, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the angel of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." I want you to notice something. Only one man did the stealing, but it got them all in trouble. Now, some of you familiar with that. You've seen We call that lockdown. One guy, one gal messes up. I cannot tell you. Over the years that I've been involved with Clover House, how many times I've gone down to the head office and argued the point that y'all just punish one and let the others come to recreate. And there's a fallacy, and this comes out of the state of Texas, come to find out. It's not of Clover House, but it's some of their orders. But for some dumb reason, they consider Dixie and Jackson and Idlewood a therapeutic community. Now, that's about as much community as a Jew and a Gentile and an Arab. You come to those places from different institutions. You went to the institution from a different town. You come at different times. You leave at different times and go different places. And you're no more a team. Everybody's on their own. So, see the reason that you punish everybody for one messing up is to build a team. They do that in the army, because an army can't just win part of it and lose part of it. You either win or lose in the battle. Same way with a team. A team wins or loses together. When I was in college, my second year, the new coaches that came in, if one guy loafed, they punished all of us. Now let me tell you, it didn't take long till the coaches didn't have to do the discipline. The other guys were. And I didn't want to have to face some of my teammates. I make sure I didn't loaf so I wouldn't catch their hell, because they would get on you in a hurry. So, but we were a team. The scoreboard showed we won or lost as a team, not as a bunch of individual. So notice, this is God's nation. This is God's people. And they better line up as a group. But we got one guy here that can just mess up the whole thing. And I don't think he did it on purpose. But I think sometimes some people do, just because they want to get back at the group. But anyhow, notice, one guy messes up, and verse 2 said, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. That's the next town they're going to take. They had taken Jericho, and it was at the defeat of Jericho where Achan stole and took the accursed thing. Now they're getting ready to make another battle. Verse 3 said, those that Joshua had sent out returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Now the first thing it did wrong is they went up without praying about it. Have you ever told God, Lord, if you'll handle the big problems, I'll take care of the little ones? I noticed that when I take care of the little ones, they get to be big ones. They grow. This is what they did. They went up, and so let's see how they turned out. He said, so there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. This little old town whips them. Said, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. They just gave up and quit. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until even died. He and the elders of Israel put dust on their head. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Notice, He's blaming God for what happened to him. And I love this. Down in verse 10, the prayer goes on by Joshua, but skip to verse 10 with me. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. There comes a time you need to stop praying about something and start doing something about it. About 3 weeks ago, I was talking to a guy in here, and he said, well, he said, I'm praying about my drinking. You're what? Let me give you an answer for that real quick. Just stop it. Oh, he said, but you don't understand. He said, I'm an alcoholic. I said, no, you're drunk. See, I come from a town that's so small, we didn't have alcoholics. We took turns being the town drunk. But we didn't, because they didn't have a meeting. You got to have a meeting to be an alcoholic. See? They didn't have any meetings. Jesus said, you remember that? The lady that the Pharisees brought in to Jesus and said, we caught her in adultery. And what are you going to do about it? Moses said to kill her, what do you say? And you remember, Jesus said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. Y'all can go ahead and stone her. And it said they all left, the oldest ones first, because they had the most sin in their life. But they all left. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man accuses me, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and get treatment. Is that what he said? No. Go and taper off. No, he said, go and sin no more. Just stop it. We can do that. You'll say, oh man, said I can't. Let me tell you. I tell you there's a detox place in town that doesn't taper off. It's called Ector County. They don't worry about you detoxing. And if it's a real burden, they got a rubber wall cell to put you in. Yeah. It's God told Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned. Get up and do something about it, Joshua. Sometimes I think we pray about stuff because we want God to do it when he's expecting us to take charge. I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, Israel has sinned and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Notice he's using the plural pronoun they, when really we're going to find out it's one guy. But God's holding Israel. Everybody's responsible. And verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Get this straight. Get it clean. Get it cleaned up. Up, sanctify the people. Sanctify just means set them apart. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You know why some of your prayers not being answered? And I don't know why it is that we only consider yes one answer. Said, I prayed about this, and I prayed about this, and God just hadn't answered my prayer. I said that one time. Brother said, don't you know no's an answer? Yeah. No's an answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's later, and then every now and then it's, you got to be kidding. But he said, until this is solved, you got problems. And we live and do like we want to do and don't change anything and don't try to deal with it and then blame all the hypocrites. And that's our excuse for not trying to live for God. I used to love what Joe Bell said. They talked to him about hypocrites in church and he said, well, they need to go somewhere. Good place for them. So, God told Joshua what to do. He said in the morning, verse 14, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So, down through verse 16, 19, Joshua begins to call the tribes of Israel. There were 12 of them. God picked the tribe of Judah. Then he brought the families in. And he picked, in verse 17, the family of the Zerahites. And then he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebni was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I would. Notice he didn't say that till he got caught. Yeah, every now and then we say, well, I did it, but that's because they had it on camera. Okay. Pretty hard to deny it. Verse 21, he said, when I, and if you want to get a good picture of sin, it's in verse 21. Notice what it said. When I saw among the spoils the goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wage of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted and took them. I saw, I coveted, I took them. That's the process. Always is. We see something we like, we want it, we take it. And that always gets us in trouble. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and the children of Israel, and they laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and he brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, burned him with fire, after they had stoned him with stones. Notice that the entire family suffered. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. I don't care what somebody does, what we've ever done, it reaches and touches a bunch of other people. I guarantee you. Now, I want three things about this I want to draw your attention to. Number one, sin always deceives. It'll lie to you. It makes us think we can get by with it. It makes us think that we can do it and nobody will know. We just believe that we can do something that we know better. It'll lie to us every time. Satan is a liar. Jesus said that. He's a father of lies. In fact, every time Satan speaks in the Bible, he lies. He never tells the truth. Satan can't even quote scripture right. He either leaves a word or two out or adds a word or two. He can't even get that right because that's his nature. He's just going to lie. You've heard it said that some guys will lie when the truth sounds better. But they're just used to that. Satan always lies. And let me tell you something else. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that is a law that whether you are Christian or not, it's in effect. It's like the law of gravity. We're going to reap what we sow. I read the other day that if you sow tomatoes, you will reap them in 90 days. But if you sow strawberries, it takes 2 years to reap them. If you sow an olive tree, I didn't know this, if you sow an olive tree, 22 years before you can get olives. Now notice, some were quicker, some were really long. Let me give you a personal example. I had not had a cigarette in 15 years when I got aggressive lung cancer from cigarettes. 15 years after I'd stopped smoking, then the cancer showed up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mama, you say that the chickens come home to roost. You know. Second thing, not only does sin deceive, sin destroys. You look in the face of some people and sees their life of sin written all over. You look at the bodies of some people and you see sin that they've had to pay for in that body. Their health is gone because of sin. Their conscience. It's amazing that the first time you do something, it really bothers you. It eats on you. Your conscience hurts you. But the next time, it doesn't hurt quite as bad. And you know what? It gets where it doesn't hurt at all. We just have seared our conscience. We can get by with it. A man that will run around on his wife the first time, he may have real guilt feelings. But the second time is a little easier, and the third time, and then it gets where it's just a matter of life for him. Same thing with stealing. Same thing with drugs. All of that. It destroys our conscience. Do you realize that? I didn't know this. I had to go to what is it you go to search on the computer? What? Google. There you are. Thank you, brother. I don't have Alzheimer's, but I got sometimes. But I had to go. Do you realize the average age, the average death age of a homosexual male? 41 years old. That's amazing when people are living longer than they ever have. You look at, and I always do, I look at the obituary every day. Because you get my age, you want to see how many friends that you've got in there. But folks are living to 80 and 90 and living a long time. But the homosexual community, their lifespan is cut by 10, 20, 30 years because of their lifestyle and because of AIDS. It's amazing how they pay for that. You'll also, sin will destroy your reputation. It'll destroy your friendships and fellowships. Some of you have burned some bridges when you go home. It won't be like it was when you left. You know what I'm talking about. Some things, nobody's going to cut you any slack anymore. Some people are just tired of putting up with you. Because sin, it'll ruin your future, it'll ruin your family. It'll ruin your opportunities to get a good job, to do this or that. It's amazing how sin just continues to destroy. Number three, sin is deadly. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 said this, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." You realize that until sin came into the world, there was no such thing as death. Nothing had died. Animals didn't die. Plants didn't die. People didn't die. Till sin came into the world. "And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." But Hebrews says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And we don't think that. I'm the oldest one in here tonight. But if we were going to vote on who'd be the next person to die, I ain't voting for me. I'm going to outlive some of you. And I know you're thinking in the back of your mind, "Poor old man." And by the way, that's the advantage of getting old. You can do stuff that earlier, when I was about 50, they just slapped me for. Today, they just say, "Bless his heart." Poor old thing. You know, you get that? In fact, when I found out, I discovered that it's a felony to hit anybody 65 or over. When I turned 65, I got real smart now. Just hit me. You know, you in trouble, baby. Yeah. No death knows it. Turn with me to the book of James, way over past the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, toward the go to Revelation and come back through 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and Jude and Peter, and you'll come, and then you'll come to the book of James. And I want you to notice this. He said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now listen, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." What they can say, "I saw, I coveted, I took." He's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. See, that's something that each of us must face, rich or poor, black or white, young or old, skinny or fat, short or tall, rich or poor. We're going to have to face death. Now, here's what's amazing. We've talked about aching sin. We've talked about these things that are sin. Do you realize that no man goes to hell for committing a sin? I find this very interesting. God's in the business of forgiving sin. But in that great verse, that if you know any verse in the Bible, you know this one, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then it said, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth in him is, he that believeth not in him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God." Man doesn't go to hell for smoking pot, doesn't go to hell for stealing, doesn't go to hell for being homosexual, doesn't go to hell for all of these things, but for neglecting to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And how many times has that offer been made to you and you turned it down? And one day, and we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, the most healthy person in here tonight could get hit by an 18-wheeler on the way home. Healthy people die every day. We don't know. but then we give an account. And he said he is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. See, there's no use for anybody to miss heaven. There's no sense in it. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he cleanses your sins and will take you to heaven. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. You're here tonight, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. As far as you know, if you were to die tonight, you'd not go to heaven. And if the Bible is true, it says you'd go to hell. And you say, Leland, pray for me. I've never been saved. Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand? Nobody looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Yeah, I see your hand. God bless you. Yeah, see your, yes. Anyone else? Real quickly. Just slip it up. I'll recognize it and you can put it down. Anyone else? I've never been saved. I want to be saved. Our precious Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. But more than that, you know the hearts. You know who's been honest with you and who isn't. We know we can't con you. So, Father, help us tonight to be real honest with you. Father, we know there's some hurting. We know there's some that have no comfort and no peace. And you promised that to us when we trusted your Son. We may not have money, we may not have power, but we can have the comfort and the joy that comes from knowing your Son. And Father, we pray they'd leave here with that burden lifted. So Father, help them tonight as I pray for them to pray to you and say, Dear Father, I want to be your child. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I ask Jesus Christ into my heart, save me, best I know how. I'm trusting Christ for my salvation. Help them to do that right now. With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Still nobody looking around. Brother Charles is going to sing on the very first verse. I want you to come and say, I take Jesus as my Savior.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.